Hi, friends. This is Angie.
Becca.
Heather.
Bonnie.
Your host of the Season Ministry Podcast. This is episode 3 on Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So I will begin by again reading those two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. For this session, we're going to center in on trusting the Lord with all of your heart. And often we always regret not hitting record sooner because Heather shared with us that the heart is referred to as the control center of your whole life. And so God is a God who desires to have us surrender all the places of our hearts to him, to trust in him. If you think back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, he said to the Israelites, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And he's just saying, "I want all of you." And that is the best place for us to place our hearts. But often we don't. And so the other scripture I'm going to flip over to comes from Jeremiah 17. If you remember, Becca referenced part of it in, I believe it was episode 1. So we're going to expand a little bit because we want to compare the two things. Because the reality is we are still being transformed. We can choose to conform to the world or surrender and allow God to transform us and to conform us more into the likeness of his son. And this gives you a visual. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. And he shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." Then we switch over in verse 7. He says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." In verses 9 and 10, 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." So, ladies, this gives you two different pictures, and it's not like you choose one and you just get to stay there, but it's this constant wrestling. So how do we look at a verse that says the heart is deceitful above all things alongside of trust in the Lord with all of your heart?
Okay, so back to Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. In my thoughts, I've always considered that to be like your heart is your emotions, your soul is your worship, and your mind is your thoughts. So heart, soul, mind, strength, and then your actions. So when I hear to trust in the Lord with all your heart, I think about emotion, and I think one of the reasons that I think about emotion is because trust and emotions are together. We struggle with emotions if we're struggling to trust, and we rest in emotions if we are trusting. So I feel like it's this balance or off balance of emotions. So when he invites us to trust the Lord with all of our heart, he's inviting us into those emotions that we have or out of the emotions that we have. So when we look at, I was going to reference Romans 7, 19 and 20. It gives us a little bit of a look inside of Paul's mind. I don't know that we can really handle a whole lot inside of Paul's mind. This is probably proof of it. But this is a little picture in Romans 7 of Paul struggling. in struggling with, he knows what he should do, but he doesn't do it. And he's back and forth. And he says, let me see, I started in verse 17, I think, "For now it is no longer I who do the sin, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh." That's the deceitful heart, I think. "For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin who dwells in me." So he repeats himself, which Paul does a lot. But I think we need him to repeat himself, because every word is loaded with so much theology and understanding of who God is. But this is just inside of Paul wrestling with his actions and his emotions and what he thinks he should do and what he actually does and how he's just bouncing back and forth with that. And I think that's what we do with trust. We get afraid and we hold on for a little bit to control, and then we try to surrender, and then we rest in that. And that makes me think of Philippians 4, where it says to think about things that are good and pure and holy, and the peace that passes understanding will flood your hearts and minds. It's Philippians 4 and several verses in there, botched together. Anyway, but the whole idea of that is thinking about God and holding on to who he is, good and righteous and pure and holy, and then you get that peace. But the minute that your mind wanders back to the other things, the fear comes back in, and then you come back to the anxiety and you let go of the peace and you let go of the trust. And so I feel like when it says trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's an invitation, because your feelings and emotions will lead you towards a path of destruction. If we follow our hearts, the Bible tells us, if we follow our hearts and we follow our feelings, then a lot of times we make decisions that will result poorly for us or sinfully for us and the people around us. So God is inviting us here in Proverbs to trust in him with all our heart, to lay our emotions at his feet and allow him to guide us.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because in my notebook, the verse at the top says, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 9:10. And it's such a great reminder that if our hearts completely seek him, we're in a different place emotionally, physically. I mean, there's a bounce to us. You know, you can see people who completely surrender and empty themselves up of themselves and allow Christ to come in and fully envelop them and be in that control center. And he never leaves his own, ever. He never does, but we leave him. We leave him. We look to the world. We look to ourselves. But he doesn't leave us. So those who, when we are in those moments, when we are willing to empty ourselves of ourselves and allow Christ to just take full control, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. And we can't explain it, but we walk in such harmony with him when we allow ourselves to do that.
I keep thinking, to what extent are we to trust in the Lord? What is it? The verse says, with all of our heart. And what does that mean? What does that look like, to trust the Lord with all? I think if we're trusting God with our whole heart, then it seems to me that we're always focusing on God and placing our concerns at his feet, as we truly believe that his ways are better than ours. It's just total reliance on him and where he wants to take us, and allowing him to do that.
Those verses in Luke that you were, before we even started today, you're going through Luke and your local church, and Luke 9, where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's getting ready to send them out. Right. So he's giving them opportunities to build their trust, and he wants them to take absolutely nothing. And so it's that, it's taking that step of faith. Like, I think a lot of, I know for me, I struggled with a long time. And so people who know your whole story of like where you've came from to where God has you now, that's only through me trusting in the Lord that I would ever speak a few sentences in front of everybody, let alone recite something that was in his word. That's me taking my heart and trusting that he will do something with this broken, dark heart of mine to transform it, to take notice of someone who's hurting, to see a need and be willing to fill it, not in on my own strength, but to trust that he will give me whatever I need in that moment. And for them, that was words. They had to reflect back and just and trust, like, take nothing. I mean, I was just confessing that I want to take 5 commentaries and 18 pages of notes and 2 Bibles sitting in my lap. And he's saying, where's the room in that to trust what we've already been doing? So it is definitely a continual thing. I've been in Deuteronomy, and so a little bit past what I read earlier in Deuteronomy 5 about trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, he tells them to not forget him. Like, it's in Deuteronomy 8, and he's saying, you know, in verse 14, be careful that your heart doesn't become proud and you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the place of slavery. He led, he brought, he fed. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power. Like, we can build that trust and build that trust and build that trust, and then all of a sudden look to our own selves. But at the beginning of that chapter, verse 2, remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey, those 40 years in the wilderness. Goodness. Lots of waiting, so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you the manna that you would eat. So he's showing them, like, I am your source of absolutely everything, but you're going to get tripped up, because once I do give you the food and you've had it for enough days, then you're going to start to complain and want it a different way. So I like that in that testing, when we see places of our heart that still seem deceitful or selfish, he is saying, you know, resurrender over and over those back to me and trust in who I am, that I am continuing to do the work. And we're going to continually go back to Philippians, I think. That he who started a good work in you will carry it out to completion. That's why our hearts are to be trusted in him, not in our, I'm not trusting in my own heart and relying on my own feelings. I'm taking that and bringing it to him.
I think it's interesting that you said a proud heart. Deuteronomy 8:14 is where you started. So a proud heart. I think a lot of times we come to God with pride in our hearts, mm-hmm. even in how we pray. We, a lot of times, and this comes back to Matthew 6, that I know I've already mentioned how Jesus instructed us to pray and how we don't need to pray like the Gentiles for what we want to wear and what we want to eat and or what we need, you know, but instead we can just trust in him and not be anxious and cast our cares on him because he cares for us. So I think in that praying like the Gentiles thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6, most of the things that we pray about are telling God what we think he should do. Most of the time, I'm really sick, I would like you to heal me, or I need this need met in this specific way. Is it wrong to ask God for those things? No. But a lot of times, most of what we're praying about is telling him, this is what I need from you, and if I keep praying to you about it, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, then you're eventually going to give in and give it to me. and that's pride, right? That's pride. That is me saying, God, what I want and how I want it is higher than what you have for me and better than the plans that you have. So I think that trusting in the Lord with all our heart comes back to that surrender word that we've used several times in the trust piece of these verses and Proverbs. It's surrendering always back to trusting in the Lord whose plan is sovereign, the God who is in control, the one who works all things together for the good of those that love him. So why do we constantly think that we know better than him? Why don't you answer that, Heather?
it's the problem from the beginning.
Yeah. It was Adam and Eve.
And we like to be our own gods. I don't know about y'all, but I think I've got it all figured out at times. We were just talking about this. Like, we feel like, I've arrived. And then you're like, no, I have not. And a lot of times we don't understand, like, when it comes to suffering. I was thinking about Paul when he was writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 1. And he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so we pray a lot of times, take this from me. I don't want this anymore. This is not working for me, God. And we kind of turn him into a genie in a bottle, even as believers. We get into that mindset, not realizing he is working everything for our good and for the good of the believers around us. So if we're struggling with certain, and as an example, a health issue, we identify and empathize with people who are going through health issues. And so he works that all out. We have to trust that he is sovereign and there's a plan in the pain. And that's hard sometimes to accept. But when you look back, is a plan in the pain, it makes you trust him even more and realize it's better that I am not my own God. It is so much better because I would really mess up everything.
That's just that relying on God and giving him full control, you know, because Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Now, part of that may include waiting. We've talked about that. No, and it's hard to be in a waiting period because we want it now.
I figured there was going to be a time where he pushed me to be a little bit more transparent with where I'm at right now, and this must be it. I shared with one of our other team members that isn't here today last night that I thought I would sit in the corner today, just because I'm in the middle of that wrestling. So I feel like I need to share that because sometimes we say a lot of things and they may appear to come from a smiling face and appear that it's easy, but this is hard, especially when the suffering comes and there is still doubts that arise. I'm in a bit of a transition season where my kids are leaving the coop and he's asking me if I trust him with them. And I do until the world gets really mean. And then I start to wonder if I have a better way. And he's doing a lot of that, of asking me to step back and to wait and to trust, and he has graciously and mercifully given me some of those avenues of grace to see how he's working, and it is beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. And it wouldn't have come without the trial and the suffering. So we know that is part of it, but it is hard. But the thing that even in the doubts, I've never stopped going to him. And I think the thing that I've learned the most as I've been pondering these two verses is I don't have to hide that part that I think is dark and that it should be a little bit more polished by now. I don't have to hide that part from him, and I don't have to hide it from the people that are closest to me. Because sometimes when I don't have it in me to pray, I can ask them to pray, and they can pray for those glimpses of hope. And And they do come, but sometimes it's a long time. So if you're in a season of hurt and heartache, there is room for that. All throughout Psalms, I often go there because it is, you know, we can cry out and say, where are you? How long, God? But those laments, as Habakkuk taught us, always lead us to firmly plant our feet back upon who he is and that he has always been faithful and he is always trustworthy. And so we ask him, I've got my pages open to Psalm 86. And what verse did I want to start out? Verses 11 and 12. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Come unite my heart to fear you. I'm kind of changing it by the lyrics of that song. I can hear it. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. And that, I think, is what surrender is surrendering when I don't understand your hand. I'm going to hang on to what you say. Amen.
In the book of Exodus, we journey with the Israelites from Egypt through the wilderness. We never get to the promised land in the book of Exodus. But we start this journey. It starts out with Moses going to Egypt and all of the things that get them released from Egypt. And then they step out into the wilderness across the sea, and this journey starts. And you read a little bit ago, Angie, about how God let them be hungry so that he could provide for them. And he used all of the miracles to get them released from Egypt to show the world and to glorify that he is God and he is sovereign over all of the false gods that they had, but also that he's sovereign over all of nature and he can provide for them. He can provide food for them. So then he takes them in Exodus 17 to where they're thirsty. Mm-hmm. And in this, people are grumbling against Moses, and they want water to drink in verse 2. And it says, why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, to kill our children and our livestock with thirst? And so then God provides water from a rock. And then they go from that right into verse 17, verse 8, then Amalek came. Here comes this enemy. And so now they're in physical safety. So they have struggled without food. They've struggled without water. And now their physical safety is being taken from them the second time, first being the Pharaoh and his army from Egypt. And here they are again. And God works through the situation where Moses holds up the rod and they are winning while Joshua is leading the battle. And then when he gets tired and puts his arm down, then Aaron comes and props up one arm. And then Hur comes and props up the other arm. And God is using all of this struggle to show the Israelites that he is God. And Moses says in 17:15, and the Lord, and they built an altar and they called the name of it, the Lord is my banner, saying, a hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. But basically this banner over them, this thing, this rod that he was holding up was a symbol of the cross. You know, it was a testimony to the future thing that was coming to rescue them, and that none of them could do it on their own, but it could only be done through God's power, and that Jesus would eventually be coming to save them. But still, he used that lack and that suffering to testify of his provision. Bonnie, you mentioned a little bit ago, I don't think we were recording at the time, but how we just say the Lord will provide and we trust in him to provide in different ways. And that is a rest that we can have. We comfort ourselves with those words. We trust in the Lord with all our heart because we know he is our provider. And we rest in God's goodness in our struggles and in our pain because we know he has a purpose for it, because he will comfort us. He's our comforter. And I think as we find, even in trusting him in releasing our children to him. We know that we can trust him because he has plans for our children that are better than the plans that we have for them. And so we can rest in knowing, and that emotion of peace and comfort come back to us because we know who he is.
Yeah, that makes me think. It's always good to be in conversation because it just came right back to me that in my own lack, like, I want my kids to trust me, but ultimately I want them to trust in him.
Yeah.
And so in my lack as a mom, because I can't be all the things for them, that gives me opportunity to point them to him who can provide all those things.
And I think that the trust that you are finding and growing in him then is mirrored to them, and it testifies of the truth of it. And I think that's another piece of that reflection of Jesus and reflection of the Holy Spirit. As we trust, others trust,
mm-hmm.
because we're reflecting that he is trustworthy. So then they trust us because they know us. They see us, like you said earlier, Heather, and they can then also allow themselves to trust. Anybody else have any thoughts they want to add to trusting with all your heart? Bonnie, I think you had asked as we were getting ready to start, how do we trust in the Lord with all our heart when our heart is deceitful? Do you feel like we reconciled that or no?
Well, I have some notes through. I found this. It's like, how can I trust with my whole heart? Just some thoughts that I piece together from things I read. Seek the truth in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Confess unbelief and be honest. And Angie, that's just exactly what you did earlier. And I think we have to be willing to be vulnerable to others. We grow in that. Mm-hmm. Spend time with God, obviously, and walk in the Spirit and wait on the Lord.
Pray, trust, yep. That theme over and over again.
Trust and obey, you know, that's. We'll talk more about that later for sure.
There's no other way.
Right.
And then our faith will be made sight one day.
Amen.
Our faith will be made sight. So all this persevering that we are doing, it will be made sight one day, and we can trust in that.
Is that a verse specifically?
Yeah. Our faith will be made sight. Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but I can look it up.
And put it on the resource list. Okay. Bonnie, you want to wrap us up in prayer? Anybody else have anything else they want to say?
No. Sure. Heavenly Father, we've just discussed how do we learn to trust you with all of our heart, with our control center. And Father, it's all about seeking truth in your word, knowing that you keep your promises. You've been faithful over and over, and in that we can trust. So, Father, I just pray that for us sitting here and for those listening, that you will teach us to truly lead to just total submission to you. And in our humanness, Father, that seems an impossible task. But just as we get to know you better and surrender a little bit at a time, you promise to be faithful to us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.